Well, it's New Year's resolution time. How many are resolution makers? Wow, okay, we've got a couple of tentative hands. How many people are scared to death of resolutions? Avoid them like the plague. Oh no, when you think about, yeah, there's a little bit of a feeling like that sometimes. I find that people do tend to polarize. Some, that's absolutely a commitment first thing, or at the end of the old year and going into the new. Others, I don't even want to go there. I'm resistant to it. I'm nervous about it. And so you have different approaches to that. This might be encouraging to those of you who are not resolution makers. There is a faction out there who say skip the resolutions at the start of the new year and instead give your efforts to dreaming big. Don't make individual resolutions, just take the time to dream big. Writing in Inc. magazine, business guru Jay Steinfeld says, "I'm a huge fan of setting goals for myself and the companies I run. What I'm not a fan of are SMART goals. As you may know, SMART goals are those that are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound." He stays away from those kinds. "The reason I dislike SMART goals is the A. The word achievable scares me. Why make a goal that's achievable? What's the point of that? So you can check off a box and look good in front of your boss? Who wants to create a goal that is realistically achievable? Doesn't that defeat the purpose of the goal itself?" And he goes on in the article to recommend dreaming instead. Why not dream about the possibilities? Why not use a sanctified imagination to think what could be that would be beyond the goals that you might set for this day? So I want you to do that. I'm going to give you a little opportunity. I'm just going to be quiet for the next 30 minutes. No, I'm... Me? Be quiet? No. 30... Yeah. But I want to give you an opportunity to dream a little bit. What is the greatest opportunity that you can imagine for the next year? Now, it's not, this is individual, you know, this is not where you peer over someone's shoulder and cheat, right? It wouldn't be anybody else's. What would yours be? And the better you can get this in your mind, I think the more this message from Revelation 3:20 is going to register with you. What is the greatest opportunity for you specifically that you can imagine in this coming year? If you're a young person, it could be a scholarship to some elite school. You know, the kind that, well, it's not, there is some doubt whether you get through, but if you get through, you win, right? If you get through that elite school, you're set. Might be that kind of an opportunity. How about some people are thinking a VIP experience to the Super Bowl. Now, it wouldn't be mine, but maybe that's it. Biggest opportunity, just be pampered at one of the greatest sporting events the world knows. How about a Mega Millions lottery ticket in your Christmas stocking? Scratch that one off. An insider tip on stocks that have receded but are poised to rebound in an incredible fashion. No, that'd be jail time, wouldn't it? An insider tip? I'm sorry. A ground floor business opportunity then. Or how about, some of you aren't oriented towards that. Those don't tickle you at all. How about an influential introduction into a social scene? Connections that will make it for you throughout your life. An influential introduction into a social scene. What's the dream become reality that would make others seem like disappointments and then letdowns? You got it? You got something up there? Even if it's just a rough outline. How about dinner with the Lord? Huh? How about dinner with the Lord Jesus Christ? The message this morning, of course, is Happy New Year's from Laodicea. Happy New Year's from Laodicea. That's the passage that Tyler read for us and that I want to meditate with you a little bit on this morning. The church at Laodicea was a church famously was in danger of being spewed out of the Lord's mouth for complacency, right? That's the one. There's those seven messages to seven churches in Revelation, and the one to Laodicea, we hardly remember anything, but he was going to do what out of his mouth? You know, it kind of catches your ear. Revelation 3, verse 15 says, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spit you out of my mouth. That's Jesus talking in the book of Revelation. Laodicea gets the most scathing review of all the seven churches from the judge who holds the stars in his hand. And I'm guessing that it must have blindsided them. After all, he says to this church, you think this, and you think this, and you think this, but I'm telling you that's not the case. In other words, they had a certain perception of who they are and what their reputation was before the Lord. And that reputation was completely off base. Turns out Jesus didn't think that way about them at all. And so they get this scathing review. I can just imagine as the church gathered to receive the messenger who brought to them the apocalypse of John, the revelation. And they sat down to read it, and they were looking forward as they noticed, oh, there's a little note here to each of the churches. This is fun. Let's see what Jesus has to say to us. There's a little buzz in the congregation, but the return of the delegate isn't quite able to keep people from looking around. You know, they're kind of sizing each other up as we do in church. Looking around, comparing, taking notes, who's wearing what, who's sitting where, and then everybody really tunes in when they hear the word vomit. What? Did he just, we don't say that. But there it was in the letter from Jesus. I want to spew you out of my mouth. You see, nearby Hierapolis had hot springs that had medicinal value. Laodicea's water was not hot. Nearby Colossae had cool, fresh water that refreshed a person to drink. Laodicea had to bring their water into the city through aqueducts, and consequently, it was not cool or fresh. And Jesus says, you're just like your water. You're not cold enough for a drink, and you're not hot enough for a bath. What do we do with you, Laodicea? What do we do with you? But it didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to be that. That wasn't a judgment that had no happy ending. It was a judgment. It was a critique. It was an evaluation that was designed to jar them out of complacency and then offer the most wonderful opportunity that has ever or will ever be given. It's just to say, hey, wake up so that they're ready. And then he follows. 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and eat with him and he with me. I just meditate that on that a little bit, because that's not just an invitation from Jesus to a church long gone in Laodicea, modern-day Turkey. No, it's one that just keeps coming right down through the ages. And this morning, first day, 2023, I hope you hear it. Because the golden ticket, the winning lottery, the royal flush, the incoming ship, it's right here, it's right now in the person of Jesus Christ. This morning, it's that opportunity saying, I'm here. The most life-altering, the greatest possible opportunity is not just a dream for you as a believer in Jesus Christ. It's something that you're experiencing now. That That's pretty amazing. Now, I hope you can hear it. If you can hear it right now, it's the Holy Spirit repeating the words of Jesus, communicating to them to your heart. Behold, I stand. Jesus Christ. Not behold, I'm sending a messenger who may come by, keep your eyes open. Not the Hebrews' encouragement. Some have entertained angels, right? Be hospitable. Some, they may not have ever known it. No, this is I, Jesus Christ, and I stand knocking. I'm here. The saying goes, opportunity knocks but once. We're well acquainted with the limited time offer, today only, and I missed my opportunity. How many times have you taken the coupon to the register and the clerk pointed out, that was yesterday? Right? No. I stand knocking. It's the permanent disposition of Jesus Christ. So right here, right this morning, he stands knocking. You hear it? Now, the danger here is that we not let this disposition of grace make us lax in responding to it. You know, the really devastating thing, the really big mistake would be, fantastic news, he stands knocking, tomorrow I'll get that. Right? That would be a misunderstanding of God's grace. That would be a slap in the face. He says, I stand knocking, because he wants to encourage you that you've not been left out. He wants to encourage you that this opportunity is yours. He wants to encourage you that even if you missed it yesterday and you're well aware of that and you feel guilty for it, that today he stands knocking. That's grace. That's mercy. If I ever come to your door, I'll knock once. I might knock twice, but if you don't come after twice, I'm going to assume I'm not wanted and make my way. Jesus stands knocking. That's patience. That's mercy. That's grace. Jesus Christ stands. He's still there. And he is knocking. My message this morning isn't really to persuade you that this is the supreme good for your life. That would be another message of motivation. I hope it already is. I hope you have at least contemplated that. So this message is for those who have already considered the other possibilities in life. You have thought through the Super Bowl, the winning lottery, and all of those things, and you realize those are joy buckets that have built-in holes. Right? So everything that you have tried in life, you know, well, that's a leaky bucket. It's a, fun for a little bit, but it's a leaky bucket. So, if you have even begun to come to that conclusion and you're toying with that idea, then you know that there's got to be something better, more fulfilling, something more lasting, and this is that particular offer. Now, you may not be completely sold out to that idea. Who among us can humbly claim 100%? I can't. I'm growing. I'm taking things out of the perforated buckets of the world and gradually transferring them over into the Lord's bucket and saying, hey, this is where they are secure. This is where my longings, this is where my aspirations are secure. And I'm making that move. But you know, don't you? You already know. You aspire. You know that's where the truth lies. So the good news of this verse is that the best opportunity in the world today for you isn't rare, it isn't elitist, it isn't racist, and it isn't recently expired. Behold, I stand knocking. So we move on from there and we remember that it's now your move. The whole point of that is that I'm knocking, what are you going to do? It takes a response. It's your move. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. In a simple metaphor, the text refers to, number one, acknowledgement of the Lord's voice, and number two, a welcome, right? There's two phases. If anyone hears my voice, that's that recognition, and I've asked you how many times already this morning do you hear it? And the second part of it is, and responds, and opens the door. There's some sort of a response. And at the very, very basic level of it, it's a reception, it's a welcome. And we need to spell that out a little bit more. But here's the picture of what we want to avoid in this next year. If the picture Jesus offers us is of him standing at the door knocking, let's use our imaginations. And here's what we want to avoid. We want to avoid we're in our pajamas and can't be imposed on to open the door. My life is filled with leisure, and significant things don't happen at my front door. All right? We don't want to be in a situation where the television is too loud and we can't hear the knock. Where entertainment, the pursuit of satisfaction through entertainment has captured all of our attention, we can't even hear the knock anymore. We don't want to be in a situation where we're running on the treadmill and we can't be interrupted. You know, whatever the busyness of life is, well, yeah, that's a great offer, Lord. That's a great opportunity, but boom, 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 I'd have to get off the treadmill. I don't know how to get off the treadmill. All right? So we can use our imagination. We can think about all those things that we don't want to happen in this new year. Instead, we want to recognize the voice of the Lord, and we want to respond to it. So I want to expand on that idea of our part in loving and growing in Jesus. Our part in actually opening the door, as the verse says. If you're familiar with theology, that's a big and heated discussion. What's the Lord's part and what's our part in growing in grace? What's his part and what's ours? But I want to keep it simple. I love to talk about those things. But if we just think about physical growth as an analogy, I think we can't be too far wrong. What can you do to grow? What can you do to be healthy and strong? Well, on the one hand, one answer to that is absolutely nothing. It's a bodily process that you can't directly manipulate. But you also know for a truth that if you live a healthy lifestyle, if you do the kinds of things that set you up for health, it contributes. Then what is a natural process can take place in the right environment. I think that that's a relatively good analogy to what happens in our spiritual relationship with God. Can you sanctify yourself? Can you make yourself holy? Can you transform yourself, as that verse in Romans chapter 12 says? Can you do it? No. You can't do that. You can't do that stuff. But can you put yourself in the place where you can experience and accept God's grace? Can you put yourself in the place where God is pouring out his grace so that he can grow you, sanctify you by means of your Holy Spirit? Absolutely, you can do that. You can put yourself in the place. I read of a disciple who followed a certain spiritual guru, and this disciple asked his master whether there was anything he could do to make himself grow spiritually, and the master answered, "As little as you can do to make the sun rise in the morning." And that disciple was pretty frustrated with that answer. He's thinking, so why am I doing all of these confounded exercises you have me doing? Why all this discipline? Why the asceticism? Why these exercises if I can't do anything in order to make myself grow spiritually? And the master replied, to make sure you're not asleep when the sun begins to rise. To make sure that you're where you need to be when the grace comes. So what I'm asking you today to think about, I'm going to be using these words for a few weeks. I want you to think about your spiritual life becoming less incidental and more intentional. Now, God is good. His grace is pervasive. And so he will continue to work with you. He does not forsake his children. That's fabulous news. But I'm afraid a lot of the times we're thinking about spiritual growth in terms of what happens simply incidentally in our experience. Well, I do hope I grow. And so I'll try to keep a positive attitude. I'll try to look at the experiences of my life by faith. I'll make sure that on a good portion of Sunday mornings, I'm there to hear the word. All right? I'll play Christian music on the radio in my car, and all of those things are good, but what we're thinking, our mindset is incidental. If I grow, great. Great. I want you to transfer your mindset and start to be thinking about intentional. I'm capitalizing on the words here in our passage where Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and responds, opens, does something, contributes, makes a plan, takes action. I'm not sure what all the word might fit in there for you. I hope you're hearing the knock and you're thinking about, Lord, whatever it is, I'm willing today. I want to open. So help me fill in that next verb. What does opens the door mean for me at this point, this place in my life? I really want you to come in and fellowship with me, so I understand that it's going to be active. I understand that it's a welcome, it's a response to you. So lead me one step further and tell me what it ought to be. I'm not sure. In fact, I'm fairly confident that spiritual discipline looks a little different for every one of us. It's not exactly the same, but it's responsive. It's active. And it's a welcome to the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. I'm confident that if we are not intentional, we will miss out on spiritual blessings. Now, the last observation we need to make in this passage is so, so rich, is that your greatest good in 2023 is not something the Lord sends, it's something the Lord brings, right? I will come into his home and share a meal with him and he with me. So this isn't FedEx, UPS, all those Amazon packages that have been dropped at your door. It's not I rang the bell, I knocked on the door, and if you'll come out and unbox the blessings, the blessing is the Lord coming into the house. He brings it. He didn't send it from a distribution center. So it's not disconnected at all from the person of Jesus Christ, this glorious offer that he's making. Again, the metaphor points us to a spiritual truth that the Lord desires communion, intimacy, a warm, familiar association with him, and that all of the blessings that our heart rises to. Oh, I wish, I long for, I'm broken in this area, I'm hurting, I'm confused. All of those come not as gifts apart from Jesus Christ, but they come in relationship with Jesus Christ. And that cannot be separated. This Revelation 3:20, this is the watershed event in anyone's life. The watershed event in the life of a Christian is right here. Am I going to live a life that goes about the business inside my home, or am I going to open the door to the one who consistently is knocking? And am I going to make myself aware of that voice, and am I going to respond to that voice? Your association with Christ secures your future. crowns you with honor, surrounds you with love. This is the life that the New Testament talks about. This is the abundant life. This is abiding in Christ. This is the experience that you sense was supposed to be yours in Jesus Christ. It's responding. Now, in the context here to this church, back in verse 17, Jesus had said to them, "Because you say I am rich and have acquired great wealth and need nothing, but do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." There's that delusion, right? Because you don't get it, he says then, 18, "Take my advice. Buy gold from me refined by fire so you can become rich. Buy from me white clothing so you can be clothed and your shameful nakedness will not be exposed. Buy eye salve to put on your eyes so you can see." Over and over, what is he saying? Buy from me. Buy from me. Buy from me. We want comfort. We want answers. We want significance. We want security. We keep going out and shopping for that in the world. And Jesus is saying, "I'm at your door, and all of these come with me. Respond and let me in." So the church at Laodicea, the situation was very serious, but good news, not terminal. The most scathing words he had for any of those seven churches, he saved for the church at Laodicea. And yet, as I mentioned, it was not to condemn them. It was not because he had spewed them out of his mouth. It was to say, "I'm here. It's right here. Knocking at the door. This opportunity is the greatest opportunity you get in life. Won't you respond to it?" I want to encourage, interesting in the show of hands, that there are few among us who are the type who sit down and write meticulous goals, you know, and set out specific plans and action steps to get those things done in the new year. Sometimes that comes out, I know for me, sometimes it's because I'm faint-hearted and I can't stand to fail at things that I have set down and told myself I'm committed to that. If I can keep it sort of an offhand wish, you know, or a desire, then I'm free to pursue it in my leisure. And if it doesn't happen, I didn't fail me, right? I'm seeing some nodding heads out there. You're one of those. Tender heart, I'm asking you this morning to answer the door. And I'm asking you to respond. And if we're shaken in our spiritual boots this morning, I just want to encourage you. It's the smallest little response. I don't want you to be thinking, "Oh, dude, here it goes. Here comes the Bible reading plan. Here comes the hour set aside at the beginning of the day. Here comes, you know..." No. I'm talking about the smallest little step where you say, "Lord, I can't get the door open that wide, but I can open it a crack. And if you'll be there when I open it a crack and whisper encouragement to me, by your grace, I'll keep opening it a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more." So again, the response is not the same for everyone here today, but God bless you. I hope the Holy Spirit will enable you to make some response. In one sense, Converge Church exists simply to encourage each other to answer the door. If you want to put it in terms of the metaphor that he uses in Revelation, that's what we do every single week. We come together and we sing God's praise. We say, "God is great and God is loving and full of grace and mercy." And by those declarations and those affirmations, we encourage one another, "Yeah, I can open the door. It's safe to open the door to a God who's like that." And we encourage each other with our songs. We listen to the Word and we get to know God better. We know what His plans are for us. And we know what His promises are for us. We know the history of redemption, and we see his grace and all that he has done to accomplish this for us. And we say, yeah, I can open that door. I can open that a little bit wider. Then we leave this and we go into a community groups and we say, what was he talking about? Help me out here, because he lost me about good morning. All right? And we talk these things through, or we say, yeah, that sounded really good. He almost had me convinced, and then I woke up right at the end, and I realized I've got to go live a real life. So help me out. How do I do that? Have any of you in my group ever lived through that? Can you help me here? And we start to integrate this, and we start to network and say, help me. I want to open the door a little bit wider. So in one sense, by using this metaphor, we could say conversion exerts for this purpose in all that we do, that we would open, recognize God's voice, and open the door and receive him a little bit more deeply into our experience. Now, I've got the graphic up there. Now what's your story? And maybe you noticed a banner in the foyer. Anybody at all see something? Okay, check when you go out. Maybe there is something out there still. A little bitty banner that says, now what's your story? We're going to be introducing an initiative over the next couple of weeks. I'll be preaching two more sermons on this and also getting into the practical details of a new initiative at Converge Church that might be one way that you might respond to the opportunity that's in front of you. The idea is that God has written a story. It's contained in the Bible. It's a story of redemption. Each one of us also has a story, and by God's grace, it intersects with that story. It is carried along by the story that God is writing for all mankind. It's a redemption story not only for humanity, but for this human. And so the question that I'll be asking and introducing here over the next couple of weeks is a regular reminder throughout this year is of some of the cardinal truths of God's Word. 10 virtues, 10 truths, and 10... just lost it. 30 things. 30 really important things, 20 of which I'm familiar with. All right? 30 things. Will we be reminding you weekly what the Scripture has to say about those things? In other words, what the knock-knock is. And then we're going to be asking you, so that's God's story, what's yours? God says his word is infallible. What's your story regarding God's infallible word? See, you have a life story, and it's important to be familiar with it and to be able to tell it to someone else. So we're introducing this at time, and this morning I simply want to end this morning with this whole idea. I wanted to start with this message to say there's an opportunity. The new year, kind of artificial, but it's a way to start fresh. Say, okay, I want to be more deliberate this year in opening the door. And then I want to say that in the next couple of weeks, we'll introduce to you an experience that might be helpful, might be useful. And if you can't think of another way, you might say, I think I'll take advantage of that. And in this way, open the door a little bit further to experience the grace and the fellowship of our Lord Jesus Christ. I encourage you to dream. Dream a bit. How would your life be different if every single day at work and leisure, entertainment, distraction, relating to family members, relating to others, whatever, Jesus Christ was your companion. Jesus Christ was your companion in every bit of that. That opportunity is right here, right now, in the knock of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I beg you to take advantage of that opportunity that's here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I preach this sermon not because I have mastered the spiritual life, the Christian life, not because I've had this beatific vision and now I always sit at the top of the mountain and instruct. I have tasted and I have seen, and many others in this congregation have as well. But I do preach according to what I read in your word, and this promise that if we acknowledge your voice and receive you and welcome you, you will have an intimate fellowship with us. It is almost too good to be true. If it didn't come from you, it would be. As it is, it stands as the greatest opportunity of our life, and nothing else we will chase in this coming year begins to compare with it. This is it. This is my moment. This is our moment, all of us. Each of us, I should say. Each of us. This is our moment. And we're here in the knocking, and we pray that you'd give us the grace and the mercy to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.